Welcome to the Concierge CPA. I'm Jackie Meyer, founder of TaxPlanIQ Software. This is a podcast for accounting firm owners and influencers who are pursuing world-class service. Let's go, y'all. Hey there, I'm Dr. Jackie Meyer, CPA, and welcome to the Concierge CPA podcast. Before we dive in, here's something exciting. TaxPlanIQ users are saving their clients an average of $40,000 in taxes per taxpayer while selling large tax plans. TaxPlanIQ is the ultimate resource for tax advisors. With nearly 500 firms on board, we're helping advisors build skills, grow confidence, and connect with a vibrant community. Want to learn more? Visit taxplaniq.com/podcast for exclusive discounts, resources, and other things mentioned in this episode. Now let's jump in.
Hello, hello. Welcome back, everyone. If you've been following this podcast, you've probably noticed things went quiet for a little while, and that was fully intentional. I hit pause to rethink everything, not because I was done, but because I wanted to make this show matter a lot more. So I didn't want to fill airspace and podcast space with fluff. I wanted to create conversations that give you actual aha moments where you can walk away thinking, how did I not know this before? So in this new version of the Concierge CPA, which we're kicking off today, it's all about truth over theory, strategy over noise, and ROI over ego. So we are talking about one of the most misunderstood tax strategies and most overlooked, but maybe one of the most powerful in the entire tax code, the backdoor Roth IRA. And I'm joined by Asen Hansen. He's the managing director of Legacy Integrated. Welcome, welcome. And
thank you.
They are a wealth management firm that helps high income earners keep, grow, protect, and preserve their wealth for generations to come. And as we were talking about right before we started recording, he wants his clients talking about him on the golf course about the amazing like alternative investment strategies that you're doing and oil and gas and stuff like that. So what's really nice though is that Asen and his firm, his wealth advisory firm, are also preferred vendors on this particular strategy inside TaxPlanIQ. So if you think you make too much for a Roth or you think your clients make too much for a Roth, this episode is definitely your wake-up call. So Asen, welcome to the show. I can't think of a better way to relaunch this podcast than tackling a myth that drives us both nuts. So let's get right into it. Most high earners think they can't have a Roth IRA. Is that true or false?
Right. That's what we found. Yeah. It's kind of surprising how many people don't know about the ability to do a backdoor Roth. So yeah, most of the time they're like, oh, I don't qualify for a Roth, so I got to figure something else out.
Yeah, for sure. But that's completely false. There are ways to do it, right? And it's not a loophole. It's not a gray area of the code. It's all very black and white, right?
Yes, it is. Yeah, I mean, so much so. I mean, it's pretty easily available to be able to Google, but people don't really think about Googling or ChatGPTing these days.
Right. Well, ChatGPT is my best friend. I don't know about you, but yeah. So the IRS does want everyone to save for retirement. They just kind of cap how much you can directly contribute once your income crosses a certain threshold. And that's where the backdoor Roth comes into play. It's an IRS allowed conversion. Is it IRC section 408A? Did I get that right?
To be honest, I don't know. I just know that I do it.
Okay, well, I'm going to roll with it because that's what I had written down in my notes. So you're contributing after tax dollars to a traditional IRA, right? Which is our $7,000 annual limit or $8,000 if they're over 50, right? And then you're immediately converting that balance to a Roth IRA. It's very simple, legal, and incredibly effective.
Correct.
Okay, so give us kind of the, what did I miss in just explaining exactly how that works? What's kind of like the step-by-step, play-by-play of what misconceptions people have with it?
Yeah, so there's a couple. And the first is, you know, most of the time it's viewed as after-tax contributions to an IRA because usually people have maxed out their pre-tax contributions to an IRA. And then they're like, hey, I need to get some money to a Roth. So then they go after tax. That's not based on what we found. That's not entirely true. You can convert pre-tax money as well. So you would, you know, contribute the pre-tax money into the IRA, and then you just convert the IRA money to a Roth IRA. It then essentially just adds that, you know, what you would have had for your deduction, adds that back into your AGI when you do the conversion. So that's something that we've found, you know, and what we found with that is that it can offer some flexibility in the planning, because you don't necessarily have to, you know, like today contribute to the IRA and then tomorrow do the conversion immediately. Like you can do it anytime within the tax year.
Okay.
Do the conversion.
That's a great point.
So, you know, you can have a little bit of time to be able to say, you know, hey, what if we, you know, wait for this position to experience some losses, and then before we add that back into our AGI, and you can, you know, capture a modicum of savings paying the taxes on that conversion. So, you know, it's an extra step versus just contributing directly to a Roth IRA. You have to do the, you know, the IRA and then the conversion over. So it does add that extra step to get the money to the Roth IRA. But with that extra step can provide some latitude to do some strategic maneuvering.
Yeah. Awesome. Okay. Yeah. I mean, here's the thing. Deductions don't make you wealthy, right? I love tax planning and I love like immediate benefits, but what makes people wealthy is tax-free growth. That's what we all need to aim for. And that's what we can do through this strategy, because we're getting the non-deductible contribution, but then tax-free growth and tax-free distribution. And who knows what kind of landscape we're in 20 years from now when we retire, right?
Right. Yeah. I mean, that's what we talk about with clients all the time is, you know, we all think the taxes are going to be higher when we're, you know, in our retirement years. So let's try to get, you know, as much money into the Roth IRA as we can, so we don't have to worry about the taxes.
Yeah, for sure. Awesome. Okay. So the income levels, which I pulled because I do not have them memorized. So the Roth IRA contribution phase out starts at 150K for singles in 2025, I believe, and then 236K for married filing joint. And then they completely phase out. So that's where I guess it truly matters, is the 165 single and 246K or so married filing joint. That's when you cannot directly contribute to the Roth. Is that right?
That's correct.
Okay, cool. Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, what's really cool is that in TaxMan IQ, we have this whole wrap engine, read, analyze, propose, and we automatically will suggesting to your clients to do a backdoor Roth if that prior year 1040 that gets uploaded exceeds those AGI limits. And so we'll recommend it. We've got ASIN and friends over here that are our preferred vendor to help you implement the strategy. What does that look like for our advisors and users that come to you for help?
Yeah, it's pretty basic. So for the client, you know, we just open two accounts. We open a Roth IRA account and we open a traditional IRA account or non-deductible IRA account. And then they fund the one, and we convert, you know, once those funds are in, again, sometimes there's just some strategy in terms of timing, but before the end of the tax year, we convert it from the traditional or the non-deductible IRA to the Roth. It's, you know, on the client side, it's a couple signatures and an ACH in, or, you know, a wire transfer, however it is that they want to get the money into the IRA, and then it's a signature to initiate the conversion from the IRA to the Roth IRA. Mm-hmm. Client side, CPA or, you know, tax advisor, hardly any work involved. You know, they would get the reporting from Schwab that would show, you know, the conversion, and they just, you know, I've never completed taxes, so I don't know necessarily the line that they look at, but, you know, there's a pretty easy line to show, you know, conversion amount that they would then, you know, put into the tax return.
Yeah. Okay.
Easy.
Awesome. And so not only can we do this 7,000 or 8K a year, but what we recommend in TaxMan IQ to show the more longer term wealth and growth is to set like an annual market rate to show that tax-free growth, right? And so what would you recommend in our current climate in 2025? What's a good like average or not so aggressive market rate that you could say, hey, this Roth's going to grow at 6% or 8% or whatever that is?
Yeah, with that, it's always the situation as the boss. You know, it's like, what is the client's risk tolerance? What amount is in the Roth IRA that gives us the you know, latitude to be able to invest in certain strategies or whatever? We do typically try to encourage our clients to be a bit more aggressive with their Roth IRA accounts because, you know, it is going to be something that they're not going to, you know, be accessing for a bit. They're going to be continuing to contribute to so they can handle potentially a little bit of volatility to hopefully capture some, you know, some higher growth capability within that. And then, you know, when they get closer to the age where they're ready to actually start withdrawing money from the Roth, you know, we can dial back the aggression, I guess, for lack of a better term, to be more. So our experience, again, this is painting with very broad strokes, is 10%, give or take a few percentage either way, that we have with clients in the Roth IRA. You know, we also believe that not all rate of return is created equally. And so, you know, if we have a 10% that has, you know, a lot less volatility than another account that has a 12%, you know, average rate of return, we might actually end up ahead because we're not, you know, we're experiencing growth in years on a higher number because we don't have as much volatility, you know, in a down year, for instance. So, you know, our, like I said, that's painting with broad strokes, 10%, give or take a percentage either way is what we've experienced for a handful of clients. We have some clients who are high teens, 20s in terms of their return experience, but they're also very, very aggressive.
Yeah.
So,
awesome.
You know,
now are you, forgive me for my lack of knowledge here, but like when you're investing the funds in the Roth, are you actually doing alternative investing in the Roth or do you steer clear of that?
Yeah. Again, situation of the boss, but we certainly have a lot of clients with Roth money that has a lot of exposure to alternative, illiquid, off-market and investments.
Cool. Okay. Awesome. All right. So let's talk a little bit, not only about the backdoor Roth, which we mentioned, but there's also something called a mega backdoor Roth. How would you concisely explain what the heck that is and why it works even better than just a regular backdoor Roth?
Yeah. The mega backdoor Roth is, I think, for me, the most exciting thing, especially for high income earners. So, you know, it uses, that one does use after-tax contributions to a 401k, or a 401k if they're an employee, or I guess a solo K or something if they're an employer. But with the mega backdoor Roth, you can contribute up to about 70,000. It's like 69,000 if you're below 50, and it's about like 76.5 if you're 50 plus. And then, you know, if you're a married couple running a business, you know, the spouse can also do that. So you could get up to, you know, 150,000 into a Roth vehicle every year.
Wow.
If you have, and that's between the employee contributions being maxed out, about 23,000, the employer doing six with a match, and then, you know, a safe harbor contribution of like $40,000 additionally. So there's a lot of money that can be jam-packed into an IRA. And that gives us a lot of flexibility with regards to timing. There are funds that are set up specifically for Roth conversions. So just kind of, you know, high level illustration, if somebody puts in $100,000 into their IRA, you know, a lot of that being pre-tax, some of that being after tax, they put in $100,000 into their IRA, and then they get into a fund that is some sort of real estate fund or drilling fund or a structured note, something that has a built-in discount on the pricing. Mm-hmm. And they get in, you get a $20,000 discount because of the reappraisal. And then you can convert the money at that point. You know, it only adds in 80 instead of adding in 100. So you could capture some arbitrage on the pricing that can help with, again, you know, like you said, you don't get rich off deductions, but you know, there's a scripture that I love that says by small and simple means are great things brought to pass. You stack all these small efficiencies that can make a big, big difference in the outcome for the clients later. Yeah. So there are funds that can, you know, be used in tandem with the mega backdoor Roth of being able to get, you know, $150,000 into a Roth vehicle every year. And it's, you know, it's just another step versus contributing to the Roth directly.
Okay, yeah.
Hey, it's Dr. Jackie. Are you enjoying today's episode? If you are, here's how you can support the podcast. Like, share, and subscribe to the Concierge CPA podcast to help us reach even more listeners. Continue the discussion and connect with other accounting professionals in the Accounting Firm Influencers Facebook group or follow me on LinkedIn. Thanks for listening. And now let's get back to the show.
So if you're an employee, it's essentially just an employer check the box choice of enabling that option, like the Roth 401k contributions.
Yeah. And every plan is different. So not all employers offer a Roth capability. Not all employers offer a self-directed capability. So, you know, obviously it depends on the plan docs with the 401k that come from the employer. But if the Roth is included, if the Roth IRA component is included, and if the client has the ability to do self-directing, they can do a mega backdoor Roth. Again, if the employer also contributes, and often we have found like not all employers necessarily offer, you know, safe harbor to everybody where they're maxing out all their contributions to their employees. Mm-hmm. But there are some plans that, you know, if you go to your employer and you're like, hey, can you, you know, instead of paying me my bonus, can you, you know, do it as a 401k match or safe harbor contribution or something along those lines? You know, often employers will happily help, we have found.
Nice. Okay. And is it like a or situation, like you can do your max employee contribution to the solo 401k or you can put it towards the Roth, or is it like some kind of combination of both?
It's essentially a combination of both. What you're essentially doing is you're you know, maxing out your contributions into your 401k, and then you're converting those contributions to a Roth IRA. That's essentially kind of the, you know, as simple as it gets. That's essentially what's going on.
Okay, cool. All right. So yeah. Your firm's name, Legacy Integrated, it says a lot about, I think, the philosophy you hold. So how do you really help clients think beyond investments and really think more about their legacies?
Yeah, that's a great question. Nearly every one of our conversations we have with clients, you know, a lot of people come to us and they're like, hey, you know, I earn this much. I've got this much in my, you know, 401k. I've got this much, you know, in rental properties or whatever it is. And they kind of tell us, you know, the numbers of what's going on in their world. But we like to kind of talk to them and be like, okay, like, you know, what are you doing all this for? You know, who is this benefiting? Oh, I want to make sure that my kids or my grandkids or my great grandkids are, you know, taken care of. Or, man, I just would really like to be able to not have to work anymore so that I can spend time working with the ALS Foundation here locally. You know, whatever it is that they're doing. And we really want to strive to understand, you know, what the clients are working toward, so that we can help them figure out, you know, the best way to accomplish their overall goals. Cause, you know, if they come and just talk in numbers, we can say, yeah, you can save money doing this. You can save money doing that. Or you can, you know, get into this investment, which could, you know, have a potential, you know, upside of this. And, you know, it's fine to be able to do that. But if we understand, okay, I want to accomplish these things and here's why, then we might be like, you know what? We hadn't even thought of this, but you know, if you're looking to do this, there's this whole other strategy that's totally unrelated to what we were originally thinking that might actually be better suited to help you get to where you're going. You know, I often use the analogy, we're just helping our clients navigate their, our logo is a ship. And so we're helping our clients navigate their ship to their destination. And, you know, we have the map set out, we know where we want to go, and we're kind of moving that way. But you know, if you've got headwinds or a tide, mm-hmm. or you know, some sort of you know, current that potentially throws things off course, we can adjust and make sure that we're getting back to where we want to go, and making little adjustments every year on the you know, along the way. But it's, as long as we kind of know what the North Star is, we can constantly help our clients work toward that. And, you know, maybe, hey, we found a shortcut. We can take the Panama Canal to save ourselves, you know. Right. So there, you know, there's all sorts of different conversations about why we're doing what we're doing that helps us determine how we're going to get to where we want to go with the client.
Yeah, awesome. That's beautiful. And I really couldn't agree more. I think thinking about legacy and wealth, if there's no purpose involved, it's really just a lot of anxiety with zeros added. And at some point, it does become a lot more than just how much you make. It's how much peace that you get to keep. And when your wealth plan aligns with your purpose, that's when you can experience what I call a return on you or a return on investment in yourself to the world. So that's really neat that you're able to support your clients through that journey. And I love the boat analogy. That's really neat.
Yeah.
All right. So a few more minutes on the backdoor Roth or mega backdoor Roth. Any other big misconceptions that you want to dispel or aha moments that you might want to share in regards to those things that we haven't discussed yet?
Yeah. It's more essentially just a reiteration, you know, like a lot of people just kind of immediately hear, hey, I earn, you know, we as a couple earn $250,000 a year. We don't make, or we make too much to be able to get into the Roth, and they kind of stop. It's like, man, there's so much opportunity with having this extra step that, you know, can yield potentially meaningful tax savings. And I'll just kind of share one story. So we had an alternative investment that we were using. They did mineral rights consolidation. So they would buy the mineral rights for essentially oil rich areas in primarily Texas is where this fund was operating. Anyway, so then they would sell the consolidated mineral rights to, you know, big developers so they could go out and drill. So during 2020, there was kind of that weird period of time where the price of oil went negative. I don't know if you remember that. And, you know, I don't know if it had necessarily to do directly with the pricing of oil or if it was just like a reporting issue that we had with TD Ameritrade, who was our custodian at the time. But we had a bunch of clients who had, you know, some money in this fund, and they had it in their IRA. And there was a period of time, about a week, where the pricing was $0. There was nothing wrong with the rights that they had. We knew that the mineral rights were in a very prosperous oil area that was still ready to be developed. And so then we just converted the ownership from that from a IRA to a Roth IRA, and we can convert it at $0. So there was zero AGI added back into the client account.
Wow.
And they got, you know, $250,000 in that position.
Awesome.
So, you know, we were able to move $250,000 without any taxable capability. And if we directly contributed to the Roth, you know, directly, that wouldn't have been able to have that opportunity pop up. And we do things like that. That was obviously the biggest one. We felt like we were geniuses. We were patting ourselves on the back because we were for our clients. But, you know, that extra step of going to the IRA first and then converting from the IRA to the Roth IRA offers some meaningful opportunity to be able to capture some tax efficiencies. I always tell my clients, like, you know, we want to help you and your CPA pay as little money in taxes as you legally can, because our clients are going to do better things with that money than Uncle Sam will. And, you know, we believe that. And a lot of our clients are employers themselves. So it's like, man, you got more money that you can, you know, hire more people to deliver better product or pay your people better so that they can, you know, have kind of peace of mind for themselves as employees and all the type of stuff. And it's just, anyway, so I really believe in being able to have some flexibility with that extra step that is taken with the IRA, with the backdoor Roth and or the mega backdoor Roth, can offer some meaningful tax planning in being able to do that, you know, in that particular year. And like I said, that one where we were able to convert a position that was priced at zero. There was nothing wrong with the position. We just retitled that position from the IRA to the Roth IRA. And, you know, then all of a sudden when it gets repriced and that reporting issue or whatever is adjusted, all of a sudden they've got, you know, 100,000, 250,000 in their Roth IRA that will never be taxed again.
Yeah, that's amazing.
they did it for a dollar basis. So
very cool. That's an awesome example. Thank you for sharing that. Okay, cool. Well, let's see. I think I'm going to go into our little lightning round to wrap up, where I ask you some really quick questions. They're just kind of for fun, to get to know you a little bit better. Does that sound good?
Sure.
Okay.
I love it.
So what is one financial myth you wish would die?
Man, I've actually got a bunch of them. But I'll say that we run into a lot of clients who have rental properties, and like, they're just like, man, I'm getting, you know, $500 a month of cash flow on this. And then, you know, like when we take a step back, we're like, man, your return on equity on that, like you're getting 2%, like the national average of rental is they're getting about 2% income. And a lot of those people, I mean, they're working really hard for that 2%. So, you know, like I'm a big fan of real estate. We use a lot of real estate for our clients, but I just think there's a lot of people who in their minds think that they're doing better in their, as a real estate owner than they actually are. And they're working too hard for the money that they're actually making.
Yeah. Oh, that's such a good one. Okay. All right. Humor me. Give me one more since you said you had so many.
There's a lot of folks who are believers in the infinite banking strategy with life insurance. I'm a big fan of life. We have a lot of clients who utilize life insurance. You know, we place a pretty decent amount of life insurance every year. But, you know, a lot of people are taught that, man, life insurance is just the end all be all. And you can have your dollar working for you 3x what it actually is. And there is some capability being able to utilize the arbitrage in borrowing from a cash value and investing in other things. But it's not as bulletproof, foolproof, you know, ironclad as people think. And we've seen a lot of those plans blow up. And partially because it gets misdesigned, partially because, you know, the clients think, hey, I've got $100,000 in there. I'm going to pull it all out and go get into this thing. And suddenly there's no cash value in there to, you know, help make sure that the cost of insurance is taken care of and the policy, you know, lapses. So, again, big fan of life insurance. I just think that it's often misrepresented and oversold. And it, you know, ends up being something that does not fare well for the client because it's, you know, not appropriately understood.
Yeah. Not managed well is what you're getting at too, because you do have to follow the rules. We have the LERP, Life Insurance Retirement Plan Strategy, is in TaxOne IQ. And we have a specific provider, Dave Spence, that he eats, breathes, everything LERPs, and he loves them so much, but like he's seen some real bad apple.
Yeah, they're
yeah, for sure. Okay, cool. What is another tax strategy that you really love?
Qualified opportunity zones, huge fan of them. Anybody who has a meaningful capital gain, this is actually a really interesting time right now because the first QOZ is about to sunset in 2026. And then, you know, any capital gains in like the first half of 2026 aren't going to be eligible for cap gain deferral. So this is an interesting time, but I love the qualified opportunity zones. I think a fantastic alternative to like a 1031 exchange or a 721 exchange, because the client can kick the capital gains down the road. I think it's 2031 now, anyway, keep the capital gains tax down the road 7-8 years. That buys a lot of time for strategic planning. Oftentimes QOS, qualified opportunity funds, have a liquidity event planned in for when what's tax year. But you know, you get your gains put into this thing, you can keep all the basis, you know, for yourself, so you don't have to worry about, you know, 1031 ratios that you know, are subject to anyway. So I love that. And then, you know, if you hold the fund, which most funds are, you know, planning on holding at least 10 years, any capital gains you realize, you know, from the time you made that exchange to the time that it's liquidated is not going to be taxed at all. I just love that. So, you know, buys 8 years worth of deferrals on the capital gains. Oftentimes the funds have some sort of liquidation event to be able to pay that tax at that time. And then if you hold it for the full 10 years, you don't have any taxes on that gains at all. It's able to kind of take it out of the 1031, kick the can down the road kind of, you know, hamster wheel. And clients can then actually like have that money and then do something with it So I love that. I think the qualified opportunity zone is awesome. Plus the economic benefit that it yields on the other side. Mm-hmm. You know, the whole idea is to invest in economically depressed areas and help revitalize or rejuvenate them. But I think it's just a great scenario on both sides for the investor, you know, for the investment and what it's benefiting. I think it's a huge strategy. And then I think timing wise right now is pretty interesting. If you, tax advisor, have any clients who are thinking about selling a business or selling a rental property or, you know, having some sort of big capital gain, and they own that asset in an LLC or other pass-through entity, have them wait until January 2026 at least, because the K-1 doesn't get issued for that entity until March 2027. And that's the timer for which the capital gains 180-day window starts. So then get into a qualified opportunity zone and defer those gains.
I love that. You know, that's exactly what I was going to ask you. It's messy. I loved that they didn't necessarily extend QOZs in the new OBBBA bill. I'm still wrapping my head around that name. But they're reframing it in a way that makes more common sense. You have to be very careful about the timing of exactly when you invest and that kind of thing. And so that's where someone like ASIN can really help you out. So I appreciate you bringing that up.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah.
Okay. What is a book or quote or speaker maybe that has really kind of changed your life or the way that you think about things?
I've got one for all three of those. The quote is it's Abraham Lincoln when he was campaigning during kind of the Civil War. He was in the North campaigning, and you know, somebody asked him like what he thought of the Southerners, and he was like, "I think they're good people, you know, who are misunderstood," or something like that. And one of the people in the crowd like kind of chastised him, like, "Hey, they're your enemies. You should wish them dead." And he's like, "You should wish to eliminate your enemies." And he said, "Do I not eliminate my enemy when I make him my friend?" Love that quote. You know, it really has helped me reframe. Like, you know, I try to really always come at a new relationship from a collaborative standpoint, even if there's somebody who might be viewed as a competitor. Mm-hmm. Cause I think there's iron sharpens iron. I think there's a lot that can be gained from doing that. A speaker who's changed my life. I'm a big Darren Hardy acolyte. I think, you know, I love everything that he does with, you know, the Success magazine that he had before. And, you know, now he just kind of does business masterclasses and mm-hmm. things like that. That information, I love him. I think he's fantastic. The E-Myth, I read the E-Myth pretty frequently. I think that's a great book on just, you know, really understanding the difference between working on your business and in your business. And
yes. Oh my gosh. It's on my shelf back here somewhere or other, but yeah, I'm constantly referencing back to it because we so easily get stuck in that technical worker mode instead of the entrepreneurial spirit, especially as service industry providers. Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh man, those were great. Okay. And I love that you brought up collaboration because honestly, it's the future of our profession. The best advisors collaborate and the average ones are out there competing. And so it's really how you can quarterback an entire situation and make friends with everybody versus enemies that, it's going to be the best opportunity there is. So that's definitely how clients win. And I think that's how us as advisors win too.
Agreed. Could
better. Awesome. Okay. So what is the best way to contact you if people want to learn more?
Yeah, I would encourage everybody. I mean, we have our website. It's thelegacyintegrated.com. You can come visit our website. It's being updated right now. So, you know, if you come at the right time, I think I told you, Jackie, I don't know if the audience knows, we used to be clients of Tax Plan IQ because we had a tax arm in our business that we have since relinquished because we wanted to focus on just what we do well. We realized that trying to also run a tax business wasn't necessarily serving our clients or our team. So if you come to our website as a tax advisor and you see we do taxes, we're no longer doing that, but we do, you know, believe in tax smart investing. So you can come to our website. There's some contact, you know, information there. You can go there. The best way is to email our concierge team. It's concierge@thelegacyintegrated.com. We've got a team of about five gals who are all just as organized and buttoned up and dialed in as possible. You know, you can email them, kind of say, hey, you know, I heard about you guys, wanted to learn more. And they'll get you, you know, with me or with one of our advisors to talk about a client situation, whatever, to be able to, you know, chat about whatever you, the advisor, wanted to chat
about. Yeah, no, that's great. Concierge team. I like the sound of that. All right, Asen, thank you so much for your time today. This was really a joy for me to hear about how more people can access those basics, but then also expand upon them as they go to higher net wealth. So thanks so much for your time. For our listeners, I hope that you enjoyed this. Please shoot me a note anytime if you have any feedback or suggestions. And I wish everyone a very blessed rest of your day. So thanks, everyone. Take care. Bye.
I appreciate you listening all the way to the end. It truly means a lot. As a thank you, I'd love to give you a free gift, my value pricing calculator and proposal workbook. This tool has helped tax advisors create eight-figure tax plans and save over $1 billion for their clients. You can now download it at taxplaniq.com/ROI-method. Thank you for being part of this journey, and I'll see you next time on the Concierge CPA podcast. Take care, y'all.
Thank you for listening to the Concierge CPA, hosted by Tax Plan IQ. We believe that every person has a unique message that can positively impact the world. If you are a successful accounting firm owner or influencer who would like to be on this program, please visit JackieMeyerCPA.com, JackieMeyerCPA.com to apply. Please share this on social media and rate us so we can continue our good work. Join our Facebook group called Accounting Firm Influencers, or connect with me on most platforms under Jackie Meyer CPA. Thanks for being accountable to transforming our industry today.